our children and our young people have again helped us to simplify and see what the real deal is as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, only the Lamb. As we conclude today, we're on our third Sunday, Advent. Advent means coming. We sit here today sandwiched between the two comings of Jesus. And on our first Sunday, we lighted the prophet's candle. All the hundreds of prophecies, the ones that have been fulfilled, the ones we're watching right now be fulfilled in our midst. Last Sunday, we lighted the angel candle. And we saw the angels, the characters, the messengers of the Lord who brought the good news, who brought the announcement that He was coming. And today, our third week, it's the shepherd's candle. And here's the passage from Luke 2. Now the days of Caesar Augustus, there went out a decree the census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, then, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, a lot of angels. And suddenly they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest, on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away back into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered about the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Final question for you today. Why did the Father choose to reveal the Son first to the shepherd? Let's talk about that. Why first to them? Well, let's just think about them. They were common, everyday people. In fact, there was no more common person than the shepherd. Lived, ate, drank, slept with sheep. Day in, day out, year round. They were people that took things at face value. They just, kind of what you see is what you get. They were very honest. You can see the honesty in the story. They were not self-centered at all. And we see in the story they were very much in awe of the glory of God. Who did he not come to first? Maybe that's a better question. Well, he didn't come to politicians. Now later on he would be revealed to politicians, like Pontius Pilate. Remember that story? How'd that work out? Not too good. He didn't reveal himself first to kings either, like Herod. All of we'll see that next week, but all of Jerusalem was in a stir over Herod because they were fearing for their life. He didn't reveal himself first to religious people either. The legalistic, narrow-minded Pharisees, they didn't get the first shot, but later on they did. How did they respond to Jesus? Not too good. The Sadducees, the ultra-liberals of the day, who didn't even believe in the resurrection, didn't reveal himself to them first either. How did it work out for them later on? Not too good. He didn't reveal himself first to crowd. It would have been easy to have had this announcement made in Jerusalem and all of the world see. That's where it happened, wasn't it? The crowds came later, and the crowds would say what? Late in his life. Crucify. 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 Only the Lamb. And he didn't choose his own hometown. Because what would happen to him on the day when he came back to Nazareth, which would be his hometown, and he stood up to read, sat down to teach, this day is this fulfilled in your ears, what would happen to him that day? He'd have to run out of town. You see, he chose the shepherd. Not too shabby. We could emulate the shepherds. Everyday people. Transparent, what you see is what you get. Faithful. Not self-centered. And we're definitely in awe of the glory of God. Part of the season that we celebrate is that revelation of God to man, of God becoming a man, the incarnation. I hope you got the story for that. Only the Lamb. Only the Lamb. The pure Lamb of God. The slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God who came to do what? To be our sacrifice, to stand in our place and take upon himself the sin of the entire world. It's about forgiveness of sins and a new life in Christ. The shepherds recorded the story exactly as they thought. That's why I'm deputizing you today to tell the story exactly as you said. How many of you have been changed by the life-giving power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many? Jesus changed your life? We sing that song, go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. Only the Lamb. Gary wrote this. Did an excellent job. You can just see the Holy Spirit just flowing out of Gary through the music and the words. But can't you see him telling the story? His story of how God changed his life. How God can change your life. We're going to have a time of ministry here. And maybe you've been touched by the Lord in some way, and you'd like to do something about it. And you hear you've never received Jesus as your Savior. There's some of you here today that that's never happened for you before. I want you to know Jesus will change your life if you let him. And Lord knows, our world needs a change, doesn't it? Our nation needs a change of heart today, especially this week. It has been accentuated how much in need we are of a Savior who will come and snatch us from pity and grave. He'll make us new people. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. What your past has been. Jesus is in the life changing business. He'll change you. Maybe today you have someone in your life that you want to pray for that needs that change of God, who's on the road to destruction, and you want to intercede for them. We'll open the altar for you to come and pray. If you want to come and talk with one of our pastors, we'll be up here. We'll have several of our life group leaders will be on the sides here today to pray with you during this time as we get serious about the coming of Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if right now in our nation's capital and in the capital of all 50 states, if a revival took place and people came forward and they said, "We get it. Jesus loves me. This I know."